and I've got lots to say. You can see, and this is only half of what I have, isn't it? A copy of what this is it's my training class that I take every year for the Australian Union Training School up at Jumbana Lodge, and we trained about 25 students in door knocking, and we took them out door knocking in the afternoon. So that's what this is. So you're getting the hot stuff from that training program there. I won't do it all, and I'll start with page 14 first, and we've got time, we'll work back. We'll finish at 3 o'clock, and if I haven't finished, that gives me an excuse to come back sometime, doesn't it, Paul?
But you're not taking us out
door knocking. Yeah, I'd love to be here. I've really enjoyed today. I guess I enjoyed the most was hearing your stories, and I've only talked about not even half of you, but just hearing your stories, it's just been great. It's a breath of fresh air for me to come out here and talk. It was a rush to get away, and yes, my heart is back there because I guess my heart's in my work, but to come away and to be with you, fellow Seventh-day Adventist Christians who are doing the same work, it's a blessing, and I've really enjoyed being here. And I also want to cover this afternoon too a little bit as well of what we do at our recipe club as well, because you run one here as well, and so it's been great talking to Paul, and he's been giving me a photocopy of some of your recipes and addresses. I can send some of mine back to you, because we need each other. And can I just say this afternoon, none of this here is my original stuff. I've pinched off other people, of other churches, and as I've been growing up. And these 6 points I'm telling you now, they are mine here, because I've developed them as I've been doing my door-to-door work. 21 years ago, I graduated from Avondale and started my ministry over in Perth, Western Australia. And I used to go door to door with surveys and even sign magazines. You've probably heard about that. And I would go and enroll people in the Bible study plan, and I'd go back the next week and I say, oh yes, that question's right, yes, 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 ticket, and give it to them, and I'll give them another lesson as well, and treat them as a student. And yes, I found some came through that way. But over the 20-odd years of my ministry, I've seen a change. I've seen that people no longer just come through because of our doctrines. In fact, sometimes our doctrines can be offensive to them if we give it to them unadulterated, straight up, with no love. I found more and more that people are coming to God's remnant church through a relationship with us. And so my philosophy of door-to-door work has changed a little, and my philosophy now is that Jesus is my best friend, yes, and I want to share him with them, but the person I'm working with, I make them my best friend first, then I share Jesus with my best friend Jesus with them. And Katie, that's how you and Paul became Seventh-day Adventist Christians from hearing your story. You probably thought, oh yeah, is Lauren listening? I listen with my ears open, Katie. That was a beautiful story. But it was that man that wanted to pray for you, which illustrates my first point on there on page 15. And the first point is, I've got 6 points I want to share with you in how to win people. That is, show a loving concern. show a loving concern. Okay, so imagine we're a team who've gone out door knocking, and we've been out delivering great controversies door to door, and we've delivered them to people, and we've gone out, and God has blessed, and through door to door, 50 people have accepted the great controversy. We come back here, and Paul and Peter and a few of you hold a prayer meeting and say, praise God, the Holy Spirit's hit Hamilton, we've at least got 50 contacts. And what do we do then? Well, we go back the next week with another booklet, or maybe a Bible study thing in our hand, or maybe I've got these little tracts that we have, we call them LIFT, Living in Forever Truth. And we go back with that maybe next week, and we're asking, did you appreciate it? And if they're engaging in talking with us, would you like another one? Yes. Oh, that's a lovely rug on the wall. Did you make it? Oh, yes, I did. And I made one for Auntie Flo too, and for my cousin Millie. And you're talking to them and get them talking. And that's what you want. You need to show loving concern to them. And to do that, you need to observe what's going on in their front yard. If there's little bikes there, there's kids in the place. Oh yeah, that's my grandkids. They come over every afternoon after school. I look after them till my daughter finishes work. Just by initiating that, showing loving concern, that's the first point. You see, many times as I was learning how to do this work, I thought that this was the object for me going there, and I would miss many a contact, I believe, because I was too intent getting this in and not sharing what was in my heart, a loving and concerned Christian friend. And I shudder a little bit as I talk with some around the churches. There is still that mentality, oh, we have to get these things in the homes. Oh, yes, we do. Go get these DVDs in the homes. That'll work. Yes, they do. But I believe that the DVDs, the books that God has blessed our church with, which we're told to scatter like the leaves of autumn, need to be accompanied by a loving and lovable Christian. And that will win them through. And on the other hand too, when you talk to them, don't be fake. Be genuinely concerned for them. And the way that you can show your concern is that you afterwards go back to the car and make sure it's up the road a bit, take a note, keep a notepad in your pocket, and write down notes on her. Oh, her name was Millie, her auntie was this, her black cat named Mog, whatever you need to know about them, so that the next week you go back, or week after, I go every 2 weeks to my people, and you go back and, oh, you told me Ray was having to go to hospital for scans. How is he? And Millie is really impressed because you have thought about Ray. You're showing loving concern. Now, with me, I've got a brain like a sieve. I've got to write it all down, otherwise I forget. And especially if I'm doing between 15 to 20 visits a week still with my two churches and my personal ministry's load, I get out there on a Thursday and a Friday afternoon and I just go for it. And I've got to make notes because I will forget. And so you need to do that. Also, the reason you're making notes is that if you're there and you find out that their daughter has just gone to hospital with had a baby or about to go to hospital with a baby, you know the appropriate time to buy that bunch of flowers or that card or that baby parcel to take around. If you find out their birthday, note it in your notebook and to bring it up, but on their birthday, you be around there with a card. Oh, he remembered my birthday. It's the little things that we need to do. And you see, my whole sermon this morning, I hope what you got out of that was that rather than we preach the gospel not through here, but through here, by serving. And so now, in my door-to-door work, right from the start, I'm looking for ways to serve people. And if it's a bunch of flowers, yes. Or if I've got an excuse, like this week, Cheryl makes sauce. My kids don't like Heinz sauce or bought sauce. If we're out of sauce, homemade sauce, and we haven't got enough, they won't eat sauce until Mum makes homemade sauce again. And so, but Cheryl has made a point in her life that whatever she makes like that, she'll tithe the sauce. And so I come home this week and here's, you know, one or two bottles put aside are there to give away to people in ministry. And so this week I could take it to a couple of people. And you see the look on one guy's face, with my second visit to him, I said, look, I said, we've been making sauce this week. Would you like a bottle of sauce? For me? No one ever gives me anything. And I thought, wow, I've just served you, you know, and you've appreciated it. It's the little things you've got to think of. And so, right from the very first visit, so those of you who've got beyond visits here to do, you'll be looking for ways to serve these beyond contacts. Now, they say we're going to get them on the 31st of March. I've gone with my contacts from beyond. I've gone over to the back to the search for certainty, old ones. And people have hacked them, no worries at all. So if, don't hold on to them. You know, keep on going and to their door with the old DVDs if need be. But I find that yes, the DVD's great. I'll promote the Beyond that's coming out. I'll promote it. But I use that as a tool to get to the door to serve people. And when you look at it, in the book of John, Jesus says, my Father is working, and I am doing the works of my Father. And what was he doing when he was talking to the Pharisees those words? He was putting the clay in the eyes of that man and healing that blind man. Now, I believe that Jesus is the example of the servant of all. Jesus could have just, poof, and healed him. No, Jesus put clay in his eyes. Jesus was with him and in a personal way, one-on-one touched him because Jesus was into servant evangelism. And so I believe that if you look through the Gospels, you'll find many examples in the Gospels and the book of Acts of Jesus into servant evangelism. Now, that takes humility and it takes time. But I'm now, also, when I go to Mildura, I bring back fruit from Mildura. When I go to the markets, I bring back fruit, I bring back little knickknacks, whatever I find. If I go into $2 shops, I'm looking for things, little gifts I can take. I especially love gift shops, card shops, and find inspirational little verses and that. And I take those. I've got at the moment 6 boxes of those in my office. And it's purely for that reason that I can serve people and take them and serve people. And I think to myself, what would Millie like today? What can I take her that will cheer her day? And that's if things are running dry. That's if there's no accidents in the home, no deaths in the home, no marriages, no births, and no birthdays. You're finding ways to serve people, and I find that is the number one thing that I do to bring them from my first knock onwards through. Second point there I've got there, lift up Jesus Christ. Now, when I first started out in door-to-door work, I got invited inside some of the homes. And I had some DVD contacts that would last for 3 or 4 years. And I think, oh, great, aren't I doing good? I'm getting in this home and I'm visiting with Tom and Tom's loving it and Tom makes me a cup every week. I was getting nowhere. Because I had let down the guard And I was now Tom's visit, not Tom being my visit. Tom had taken control. And now it was more like a club, just going around there for a chit-chat. And Tom was lonely. I could have gone around and seen Tom for, I reckon, till Jesus comes, or till he died. And Tom wouldn't have come any further to the church. And so I've learned in there is that right from the start in your visitation, uplift Jesus Christ, lift him up, all the way through, in conversation. And how do you do that? Well, if nothing's happening too well, you have in your pocket a heap of promises. Hey, Tom, I'd like to share a Bible promise with you today before I go. And make sure they're good, light type ones, ones that are really, there's good counsel in Proverbs and Psalms there that we can use. And you share that with him, and that's as far as you go. Or if you're along the way, you go to the football together and you see a guy lose his temper, on the way home you can say, Tom, I was like that at once. I had a bad temper. But since I gave it to Jesus, he took it away. And now my life's a lot happier. Now, I'm just using these off the top of my head. I haven't got these down in script. But that's the type of thing you need to do. You need to weave Christ into your conversations all the way through without being offensive. But notice too, you're doing what Christ is doing in you. You see, to me, the greatest witness is you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And you are the witness, not the DVDs or the great controversy. You are the witness. And what you're doing is you're a mirror of Jesus. You're reflecting Jesus on earth to that person. And then he's going to become a reflector of Jesus too and pass that along. So, like for example, you share a bit of your life and that. And about 2 months ago, I had an accident, a very bad accident, and I couldn't go to my visits 1 week. And when I went around my rounds, as I shared the story, I say, "Oh, but praise Jesus, He saved. You know, He saved me. I've got my health. I'm still here today. Thank Jesus, I'm here." And so I'm bringing Jesus back in all the way through, and giving Him the praise. And the glory. If you don't, it will just be Lawrence, come over for a cuppa with me. And yes, go inside, have a cuppa with them if they invite you in. Because the old Nescafe coffee ad is true, people talk around a cuppa. But, don't compromise on our health principles. Because people out there are really cluey. And if you're having a cup of coffee with them, and then, and I hope you're going to study this, because I do, you've got to go through all of our fundamental beliefs. If you do a Bible study on health, how can you study on the effects of coffee if you've just been having a cup of coffee with them? How do you get around that? Pardon? Yeah. But not too many people have that in their cupboards. So what I do is, I get the good old Marmite jar, and I've got that full of Caro in my glove box. And I'd say, hey, I'll go out to my car, grab my cup of Caro, and I will come back in and have a cuppa with you. Because it does work. People do talk around that, and we've got to take that to our advantage. That's why I'm quite well... No, too many cuppas all day. But I only find that there'll be one or two in the afternoon that want that at the most. Most people are happy at the door, or they're in their garden. And once you get into their life, they understand that you don't want to drink too much because we're of our health principles. And also, you must share that in your talk. You see, I guess the point too is not just sharing Christ, but sharing what Christ has done in you. And if Christ has given you health because you follow Christ's health principles, then share that. And share the blessings God gives to you, because that's what's going to bring people a step closer to the church. I'm thinking of another text in the Old Testament where it says it's your loving kindness that brings us to repentance, O Lord, knowing you love me. That's why God blesses the good and the bad. God blesses the bad because he wants them to know his kindness and that he's a loving God. And you need to share that in your conversation with them. So if you're going to go to sleep this afternoon and not listen to anything more, well, you've learned it there with point number two, that point there. Lifting Jesus Christ is the secret. It's the difference between many churches having, well, I have an average of 17 baptisms in my church a year. And there's a difference between that and no baptisms, I believe. Because once I've taught my members this, and once I started doing this myself, it brings people through a lot quicker. Because, yes, some of them might not be tuned in to Jesus Christ, but it sorts them out from the start. And you can move on and find the one that's wistfully looking to heaven. I guess, too, that we've got to remember, too, that sometimes we get into the mentality where we think that we are the only person on this earth that God can ever use to win Jim to the church. No, we've got to take it off our shoulders. The Holy Spirit has got thousands of ways of winning people. You know, he won Kate and Paul, he won you to the church in ways I would never thought of. You know, that guy in your shop and saying, I wanted to pray for you. You know, the Holy Spirit, it's his visits, not ours. And so we need to take the pressure off ourselves and realise that it's not just a one-shot event, but it's a relationship, and relationships take time. It took me 4 years of being a friend of my wife to realise that she was worth marrying and I should get a bit more serious about the relationship. But it took time. And all relationships take time, don't they? And so too does a relationship with a new person, with Jesus Christ and with you. And so take the pressure off. You don't have to go in there in one afternoon and make sure that they have got the Sabbath, the mark of the beast and the second coming in one half and in one hit. It takes time. And they may never, ever broach a subject of Sabbath with you before they come to church. But they may see that you keep the Sabbath because you talk about, oh, yesterday, you know where I went yesterday? I went out to Hamilton and spent the day with some great friends out there. I had a great drive out there, a great lunch. You should have seen those vegetarian savouries. You know, and it's not very hard to talk about what you're doing if you're living the Christian life. The Christian life is full of attractiveness to the unchurched because we talked about this morning, we're the light. We're the light, and we're shining in the darkness, and light is always attractive to darkness. Use the light God's given us. Number three, stick to itness. It is also easy to find excuses not to go back. Oh, terrible weather, might rain. Oh, I'd rather see you on the computer today. Oh, I'll do it another day. And you find a week goes past, 2 weeks, 3 weeks before you go back to that contact. I find that the first point in winning people to Jesus I mentioned, or second point there was, you know, lifting Jesus Christ, that's important. Secondly is discipline. Discipline. The devil will find a thousand ways to keep you from hopping in that car and driving across the town to where your contacts are. He'll give you flat tyres. He'll give you a flat life. He'll give you a headache. Whatever. Resist it. Discipline. Say, Lord, I have given you Saturday afternoon between 2 o'clock and 3 o'clock. That's your time and I'm going to do it. And at 10 to 2, walk to the car no matter how urgent things are going on in your life. Because I believe that there's an urgency out there. People are going to Christless graves unless they hear the message that we have. And you have two or three contacts in your life who are open to that, and they are needing you to be there this afternoon. Stick to itness. Hanging in there with them. They'll go through ups and downs. They'll go through times you think, oh, they're coming close. They'll go through times, oh, Lord, how could you ever save them? You know, a guy got baptised last year who I thought I'd never, ever baptise. 6 years I went round Bible study with him. I went through every Bible study imagined. 6 years, But when he walked down to be baptized, or when he went in the font, his wife walked with him. And she'd heard all the Bible studies, so I had no worries baptizing her. But, was it worth it? Yeah. Yeah. And so the thing is sticking to it, and I wait until they say no rather than me. When they're opening and taking literature, or when they're taking the prayers, when they're taking your conversations, I figure, hey, the Holy Spirit can still work in that place. And so I'll go until they tell me no. And when they tell me no, I will wait 3 or 4 weeks. And I'll drop in on their house again. Oh, I'm in the area. Just pop in and say, see how you're going. I've been thinking of you. Oh, I'm glad you're here. I lost your number, and I didn't need your number, but my brother Jim has passed away, and we need you to the funeral. You just never know what the Holy Spirit's done. And so I will go back that one last time, just in case, if the no's happening. And stick to it, and this is so important. Number 4, invest time. Invest time. It takes time. And say, this is God's time, this time I will go. And if you think that you're going to back out on that, go and talk to some of the leaders in your church, Paul, Peter, and some of the guys here, and say, hey, I want to go out between 3 o'clock and 4 o'clock every Saturday afternoon. Can you hold me accountable to that? Can you ask me next week at church if I did that? And they'll say, yeah, gladly, because all leaders in the church are happy with members out there witnessing and sharing their faith. But it helps me if someone's holding it accountable. And the other thing is, it helps me too if there's two of us going together. So if Trevor and I have arranged to spend an afternoon out visiting our contacts, then I'm more likely to eat my lunch quicker and jump in the car to go to Trevor's place if I know that Trevor's counting on me to come out with him. And so that, I think, is a wise counsel in the Bible when Jesus sent out the disciples 2 by 2, because if someone's having a hard day, then the other person can encourage that person. Also, if I'm doing all the yabbering at the door, and Trevor's there, and he can see what's going on behind there. He can see if there's, like, one stage there. Oh, I think it was Jeff Yulden. Now, Jeff Yulden taught me what to do. He's a master at in the home. But he was doing all the talking and going for it, and we're in his home. Of this couple who have been coming to church, and they dropped out. They came to Jeff Yulden's programs, and they came to the Revelation Seminar, they dropped out. And the Pentecostal church that they were going to was giving them a hard time, and telling them we were a cult, telling them everything about us. And Jeff says, we're going to go and visit them. And I said, oh, and when I was only young, it was about my second year out, I spent my first year and a half in youth ministry, so I was still new to the door-to-door type and visitation type work. And I'm thinking, well, I'm not comfortable here. Going in, this is hostile. Anyhow, Jeff's there, knocks on the door. G'day! How you going to Andrew and Simone? And Andrew's there, almost faints. And he's going white like a sheet. And and Jeff goes, can we come in and have a chat? Oh, we're about to go out. Oh, we need to have a chat, says Jeff. Next minute I know, we're walking inside of the lounge room, walk past them inside, and we're in the lounge room. And they're sitting there, and they're both as white as sheets, and I could see something going on, but Jeff missed it, totally. And Jeff's there, what is it about the Sabbath you don't get? What's not clear to you? And he's pumping them. And I saw this shadow going in the hallway, back and forward in the hallway, across these two rooms. And I'm hearing this prayer, Lord, cast these evil people out of this house. All this stuff going, I'm hearing this, going in the other room. And anyhow, Jeff's still going. I said, Jeff, I said, are you hearing what I'm hearing? There's someone in there. And he goes, I said, yes, there is. Next minute, bang, they are into the lounge room, and they were praying over us, and praying the evil spirits out of our lives, and we walked out of there as if we were whipped. And anyhow, I said, Jeff, I heard him. And Jeff said, why didn't you tell me? I said, I'll try to tell you. And that's the beauty of two going to people, because one can see what's going on if the other person, because when you've got your heart set on sharing the truth, your mind is, in that. And sometimes you can't see what's around you. And there's things the Holy Spirit's doing that you need to know about. And so that's why it's wise to take two people with you when you go door to door. The long story, short story is, if you go to Miranda Church up in Queensland, you'll find this couple. She's the head deaconess of the church. They came back through a dream. God gave him a vision or a dream, and he saw he was trying to attach a cart to a car, a trailer to a car, and he finally lunged, he struggled, and finally he lunged with it, and the old couple in the old vintage car, when he did, turned around and smiled, and she lifted up the plate underneath the mat on her side of the door, and he remembers seeing that the word Sabbath shining out bright lights. That was his dream. He woke up the night and he said to Simone, he said, "Oh, I can't sleep, and there's a warm presence in the room," and that. And he goes, "We've got to go to church next week. We've got to go to church next Sabbath." And they came to church, walked into my church, and I said, "What are you guys doing here?" "Oh, we've got a story to tell you after church." And I couldn't wait to preach that sermon, the shortest sermon I preached, because I wanted to go and hear this story. God brought them back to church through a dream. Now, that's a bit extra what I was going to tell you, but I tell that story then because two by two is so important. See the individual as a total person. Jesus, when he shared with people, he saw people as a total person. And yet all too often, we are just going in there with the one thing, and that is to get the great controversy into that home, or get the DVD into their home, get the truth, get the spiritual into them. But Jesus, you look at the woman of the world, look at Zacchaeus, look at all the one-on-ones Jesus had with them. Jesus ministered to the physical, the mental, the social, and the spiritual. Jesus did that. He went for the whole person rather than just the spiritual. And you've got to be aware of that as well. And that's why, if you look at the Seventh-day Adventist message, when it's preached in the whole, when it's lived in the whole, and when it's taught in the church as a whole, is an all-rounded message. Health message, physical. Spiritual is through the Bible stuff. Mental. In the Bible, some of the counsel people would go and pay $65 a pop to go and hear it from the counsellor, and yet the Bible has that. The Book of Psalms. When I was going off my nut, when I had a big tragedy in my life, I remember walking the beach, and my mind was calmed and stilled by reading the Book of Psalms through and seeing where David had a one-on-one with the Lord, and I quested for that. The Psalms are powerful with people. And so you'll find that the Bible, our teachings, minister all around. Well, you have to do it too. All too often I see well-meaning Seventh-day Adventist people out there witnessing, just emphasising the spiritual part only. The spiritual part is a whole, it's a whole message. And God gave it to our church over time. Our forefathers, Ellen White and them, God gave it to them bit by bit, but when you read her writings as a whole, you'll find that God gave our church through her writings of the full rounded coverage of those 4 points. Remember, that's where the notes come in. People love it when I remember their name, and I try and remember people's names as much as I can. I tried here this morning, but I was so tired and so upset from my quick travel out here. I got Peter's name wrong with Paul's name and that type of thing a few times. But I dare say you guys are happy that I mentioned your name. And now when I mention Trevor lights up. Oh, he mentioned my name. People love to hear their names. And so, remember, people love to know you remember something. Even if you remember their cat's name, even as it's ugly as anything, but you still remember its name. People love that. So that's where you've got to write down those notes and bring those things back and remembering. And also use people by their name. Write down their name when you've taken the DVD or the video to them or whatever you're taking to them. Write their name down because people love it when you go and say, "Hey, John, I had this your next DVD for you," and you just try it. Next time you're going through the checkout here at Fisher's IGA, and do you know where Fisher's IGA originates from? Mildura, where I was brought up. Next time you're going to Fisher's IGA, and you're talking to the checkout... Pardon? You're right, Merbein. You've got me. You're right. I've got to watch it. Obviously, you know the Mildura area too. I had Mrs. Dobrodick here this morning as well. Here she is. And she knows me from about that high. I've got to watch myself. Okay. Next time you go to... And see, I am proud of Mildura, aren't I, hey? But next time you go to Fisher's and you go to the checkout, you call the checkout attendant by name and watch them light up. People love to be called by name. And you simply do that by remembering, you know, writing down notes. And also, another way to remember it too is in your conversation, as you're talking to them. I did this with Trevor, so I thought I don't want to forget Trevor's name this morning. And so I mentioned the name Trevor Acton 3 times in a conversation, and I got it. And that's the way that I do it with it. And now when I go, and I meet, if I'm doing 15, 20 people a week, just in this alone, and plus all my other visits, I've got heaps to remember, and so I've got to take notes, especially in my area, where they're Middle Eastern countries, and some of their names are as long as the alphabet. So you've got to take notes and remember. 7, lead a friend. And this almost touches on where we were with the lift up Jesus Christ. Because you've got to walk a balanced fine line here. You're leading him to Jesus. You're leading him to our church. And that's what your goal is. Your goal is to bring him to church. But you're also their friend. And so you've got to move between these two lines of leader and friend. Don't stay in the friend area so much so that you just go in there for a good time and don't lead them on. You have to have a plan. You have to know where you are taking them to. And so that will involve here in your church that you make sure that you don't forget the recipe of how you do these wonderful lunches in the back room. That's an asset you've got as a church here. If people come to your church as visitors and you take them out to the lunch in the back room and they had that lunch out there with you and the friendliness, I didn't hear any nasty, maybe I was in the wrong corner. I heard no nastiness, I heard love out there. Use that. That's a weapon you've got to bring visitors into the church. Also, our Sabbath school classes. And I like to have small groups because that way people get to know them more, and I bring my contacts into my Sabbath school groups and I get to know them there. I have cell groups. We have 18 in my church that meet during the week, and that might be a first place where I take them. And my cell groups have what they call social nights, and your Sabbath schools do that too, where you have a just a dinner and a good old-fashioned social night. Like we play things like snakes and ladders. My wife made a big one, like a quilt. We lay that out in the middle of the floor. We've got a big dice that you get from some of these car shops that they have in the window of some of the young kids' cars. And you use that as your dice. And we've got big plastic discs that we use for the pieces. And the kids love it, and the adults love it, and they sit in their lounges and watch the game, and you know, those are playing it, play it. A good old-fashioned social night. And you know, the computer can't offer that. The Facebook can't offer that. I use those to bring people along to. Also, our recipe clubs, we have that. We have a men's shed in our church, specifically for that very reason of bringing people along to there, and they do woodwork together, and they come through from there. We also have Pathfinders. We started this year, and we've got 14 kids already, and that's set up totally as an entry point. And these Pathfinders, men's sheds, and recipe clubs, and that is where I bring people to first, and then they come from there into the church. Last week, a family went up to the camp, and they were going to come to church today because they went to the Pathfinder camp with the Pathfinders. We've got to have these type of things, and don't think, you've got to have more than one time. It took me, 9 years now until we started our Pathfinder Club Just build and pray. Ask God to give you leaders for these various ministries. And He will. They will come up from nowhere. Like yesterday, I got the call from the lady who runs 18 community houses across the Hume area, in Western Suburbs. Lauren, there's a community centre shutting down. They do between 100 to 150 food parcels on the Thursday, Fridays a week. Can you, it's shutting down, the government shutting, or the council shutting it down, can you take over the food parcels? And I said, yes. And then I got the phone and thought, that was a stupid thing to do. How am I going to handle that with my workload? The phone rang about 15, 20 minutes later. And it was a lady saying, Lauren, and she comes to my church, not baptised yet, but she's been attending for about, since Christmas. Lauren, I've been doing a course through TAFE in Shepparton, in social work. I need an outlet where I can gain some skills in hands-on social work. And I said, well, I've got the spot for you. Thursdays, Fridays at this community centre delivering, people come into this community centre, she's got to just hand out the food parcels to them. And I said, well, you need an assistant. Oh, yeah, I've got Edward. Edward will be coming to church same time as her. He wants to help out in the church. She said, I think he would do a good job of that too. And so I said, okay. So within half an hour, we had that ministry organised and they're ready to start next Thursday. Don't be afraid to step out. If you've got bold visions, bold dreams, Jesus and the Holy Spirit love that and they will rise to that. How to get off that topic? Lead a friend. You've got to go between lead a friend, and you've got to keep coming back to leader. Having a plan. That's it. Having a plan. Having places in church where you can bring these people to, and bring them through. Now, I find too that people will come to church now before they start Bible studies. It's getting more and more common that they'll come to church before they start Bible studies, and we as members need to be aware of that. We can't just go up to the person at the door and, or when a new person comes, oh, have you heard these brand new DVDs on just how big the mark of the beast is going to be? And that we can't do that. If Peter brings a new family along, it's our job to love them. It's our job to say, Peter, how can we help you serve these people and work with Peter in bringing these friends along? And that it's not our job to hit them hard doctrinally, unless Peter says, yeah, that's fine, they'll take that. Peter's the one who's staying with them and visiting them. He knows where they're at along the road with the physical, mental, spiritual, he knows where they're coming along the road, and we need to work with him. And I think it's called communication. And families do it when they have a baby birth in the family. Well, we need to do it when our church has new people coming into the church too. Now, it doesn't mean that, oh, I can't go near Jim because Jim's Peter's contact. There's nothing worse than Peter bringing a friend along to church and no one going out and talking to him. Peter can't even go to the toilet because he can't get away from his friends because, he's brought them along. He's trying to look after them, trying to make sure that they're okay, that they can read the hymn book, that they can read the Bible and that type of thing. Get in here and help. We know what we mean. We've got to look at ways of uplifting and helping each other, because it's not Peter's contact, it's Christ's and ours. It says that the Lord adds to the body those who are being saved. It's all our contact. And so that's where we need to, and when will they come to church? They'll come to church for things like a baby dedication, they'll come to church for things like a Pathfinder rally, they'll come to church for a visitor's day, or even for a lunch. They'll come to church. And even if it's the smallest excuse, invite them along. Say, look, we're having lunch at church this Saturday afternoon. I'd love you to come be my guest. Of course, they'll come to church and they'll come to the lunch. But you need to do that. But also, don't be afraid to invite them to Sabbath school first. And sometime for a while, they might just come to Sabbath school. And then after a month or so, then come to church. But Sabbath school used to be used as the evangelistic tool of our church. People used to come to Sabbath school, and I just remember as a kid watching them all leave, go to their cars, and some of them not stay for church. Why? Because they were coming to the evangelistic part of the church first, and then after they've heard our message, then they're coming to church. So, and that may take as well the leaders of our church saying, okay, is our Sabbath school really attractive? Is our Are we having social nights enough to be able to invite unchurch? Now, I've never run a social night and not had a non-Adventist person come along. And here's something like what I'm doing now. I'm just frustrated that I'm not moving my community long enough. You know, where they get my cards, and I just found out today there's someone in Janus Street I didn't even know it was there. But, you know, and I'm thinking to myself, God, use me more. And I've been praying and asking God to show me some spare time on a Sunday morning where I can run a pancake morning at my place for a brunch. And just put a little note out in the mailboxes around, and maybe a big pancake on a bit of core flute or artist's poster paper on my front lawn, advertising I run a pancake morning in my home. I'm trying to find time to do that, because I think that we've got to find more and more ways of engaging the community and inviting them into our lives and our homes. Okay. I think I can only do that far today with it, and I'm so sorry you photocopied off like a legend. I've done 3 pages. The other 2 in the front there, I'll do that when I come back, if I'm invited back. Oh, no, I'll do it when I come back next time. But this is part of what I taught at the Union Training School, and when the General Conference personal ministries guy heard that, he said, hey, he said, that's the gap that's missing, what I taught you today. Because you hear stories in the Intravic and in the record of people going out and knocking on doors and getting 50 DVDs in, or 50 Bible studies. You don't hear any more. What we're interested in is how many of them come through to baptism. And anyone can knock on doors in the afternoon and get Bibles and get contacts through DVDs. Anyone can put an ad in a paper and get or add on TV and get contacts in through Beyond. But it takes a special person and special skills, what we've just done this afternoon, to bring them from the first visit through to church. And I've shown you this afternoon how to bring them through to the church. Now, the rest of your club. It's I've run it for 7 years, and I had Sibylla come out because I realised I need to get health. And it's, well, Ellen White says it's the entering wedge. When the entering wedge is, it's right out of the message. And I knew I had to get it straight in. So I got Sibylla to come out, and she ran a program. We had 80 come to her 4 nights program. And then we booked them into the Recipe Club. And we had over 20 on the first night. And I found that that keeps on dwindling down all the time. Some people move away, some people for various reasons. But over the 7 years, I've always kept between 20, 25. And if it looks like dipping, I get letterboxing. I've got flyers I letterbox each week. Oh, sorry, each month before I go. I always put about 1,000 out each month. And that brings in 3 or 4 new people and keeps the club vitalised, keeps it going forward. And I'm happy to share those with you, Paul. I'm happy to email them to you. Now I've got the email addresses. Our flyer, we've changed it over the years, and we're just doing it more and more rather than just concentrating on the fruit and vegetables in the picture. We put people enjoying the fruit and vegetables, people sitting around eating together and enjoying each other's company. People are being attracted through relationships, as I said before, more and more. And so I'll send you our current flyer. We run it in the community centre, Tullamarine Community House. And why? Because I had no building back then. I had my house, and that was it. And that room would be about the size of this room here, and it's got a kitchen attached on the back of it. It'd be about a little bit bigger than the foyer out there. And we have between 20 and 25 come each week, and I've found over the time that I've been able to really get to know some of these people really well. One lady came 7 years ago, and we hadn't seen her come for 2 years. And she came back last Monday night, and I said, Claire, I said, good to see you, we've missed you. I said, why, where you been? She said, if I stayed in this club a bit more, I found myself becoming a Seventh-day Adventist. I said, oh, okay. I said, I'm sorry. Was anything I said? Yeah, everything you said. Okay. She said, my husband was the minister of the Baptist Church here in Essendon. And she said that it was conflicting. And she said, how could I become a Seventh-day Adventist when my husband was a Baptist pastor? And anyhow, I said, so what happened? Well, we're retired now, and there's no longer an embarrassment on the church. So I said, you're planning on becoming a Seventh-day Adventist? She said, yeah, get the point? I said, yeah, okay, I've got it. And anyhow, so straight up, I lined up my wife and Evelyn to go around and have Bible studies with her. And, you know, you never know, she may come through. And yet, I thought all along, is this club worth it? We've got one other person coming to church. She's been coming to church for 3 years now. And she no longer comes to Rescue Club because she found herself too involved in the women's club. And she's also in Pathfinders now and other things of the church. But she's right involved in the church. And her name's Diane. And so we are seeing people come through. It took time to start. It took us at least, 4 years before we had the first person come to church from that. How are we getting people to come, how are we tying that into the church, the Rescue Club? I just gave you seven principles here. And I can summarise it for you. Loving them till I ask you why. Some of them there, like one of the ladies, Karen, her daughter had a baby, so we went around there the next day with a big bunch of flowers. Others had, Curdy had her husband pass away, bunch of flowers, went to the funeral. The manager of the Tullamine Community House, she had her dad pass away. And she came to me, she waited around till 6:30 when I came in to set up for the Rescue Club. And she said, I've been waiting for you, Lauren. She said, Dad died yesterday and we want you to do the funeral. But she had no churchy stuff. I said, oh, that's going to be hard. I said, I'm a church pastor. She said, do it. I said, I'd love to do it. And then I went home and thought, how am I going to do this? And because, you know, I'm not going to take a funeral without preaching on the hope of the state of the dead. No way. And so anyhow, it came time, 2 days before the funeral, for me to meet the family and do the talk with them. And I went around and visited the family and got the eulogy out with them and got the plan of the sermon out. And Cheryl said to me, she said, Lauren, she said, Dad was a gem collector. Can you talk about the jewels that are going to be in heaven, in the heavenly walls of heaven, the gates of heaven, and all the jasper and onyx, all the precious jewels in heaven? And I said, yeah. But I said, you don't want me to talk about religion? Oh, she said, do that part. And she said, why add it to? She said, talk about in where it says Jesus is coming back to take us home to heaven. So I said, okay, no worries. But I said, I'm a bit shocked. She said, do it. I said, yeah, I'll do it. And thinking, oh great, I've got a wedge here, I can do it. And went home, phone rang, it was Cheryl. She said, Lauren, she said, I've got something to confess to you. She said, I'm an ex-Adventist. She said, my husband used to go to church in my first marriage. We had a marriage breakup. She said, there's two things I missed in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. I missed Friday night dinners and family being together for Friday night. And she said, I miss Sabbath afternoons, lunches with my church and going for walks afterwards. So I miss that. And she said, I said, Cheryl, can't preach a Seventh-day Adventist funeral. She said, go for your life. So I did. 200 people in that room, in that chapel, and I gave them the State of the Dead, no worries at all, and she came and said, that's the best sermon ever. She came to church about a month ago, for her first day at church, and I don't think her husband will come for a long time. He is so far away from Jesus. She's coming, and she's the one that gave me the she's the one that's in charge of 18 community houses. She's the one that was a council in the Keilor, a mayor of the Keilor Council. And she was also the one that gave me the contacts yesterday for this 100, 150-odd food parcels. God's got her in the right place, and God's using her, and I would never have found her if I hadn't gone to that place for a recipe club. So some of you might be saying, oh, our recipe club here is, you know, down some hall down here in Hamilton. You never know why it's there, because you've gone out and you're shining your light in the community, in a dark place, in the shadow, where the shadows are, and you're lighting that place for Jesus. So don't be afraid to have it where you have it there, and don't be afraid to leave it there forever, because people will be comfortable coming there. It's out there where the shadows are and where you can shine the light. With the Recipe Club, I do a newsletter every month, and we've got a mail out of over 150 odd people. Now be over 151. Now I'm going to mail it to Paul now as well. So we mail it out to people, and it's of course got little newsy notes about health in there, and it's got, you know, make sure you come to next Monday night's Recipe Club, there about it. And don't be afraid again to share yourself in there. If Sibylla came and helped you out your club out here, mention to your group, oh, you know, Sibylla's husband passed away, I mentioned it to my group, and I said, and they immediately said, Sherelle was my wife that makes cards. I said, Sherelle, got a card on you. Sherelle went home and grabbed a card and came back, and they all signed it, sent to Sibylla. Here's unchurched people ministering to Sibylla. And that's what I'm trying to say. Involve them in your life. Involve them in your church life. And don't be afraid. Who does the recipes? Who does the leading up front with the demonstrating? Don't be afraid to talk lightly about your church or about what happened. You know, we had church yesterday. We had last Saturday, and we had a lunch with the, and we had three or four beautiful savouries the lady made, and you know, all vegetarian, and you know, and as you're kneading the dough for the buns or whatever, mixing the stuff that you're making for the carob slice, whatever, you're talking about your life and your Christian life. I learned that off Sibylla. And she does that. She talks about Warburton Church, and she talks about you know, her church life or her work in the conference or work for Sanitarium. And don't be afraid as you're talking to mention it. Or if you say, look, you know, I had to work hard last Monday on my own because my wife came back absolutely exhausted from a Pathfinder camp. We run a Pathfinder camp looking after for kids that are 10 to 12, you know, 15 years of age group. And you're mixing away and you're talking with it. And people will take that from you. Also, I hand out sign magazines every night. And I do it because in every science magazine, there's a health article of some sort in there, and there's also the recipe. And so I'll say, page such and such, you'll find an article about salt. Page such and such, you'll find a recipe for tofu burgers. And I actually tell them where to go to, and some of them will turn that up at the night and mark it to go to that. And trying to think of all of them take the signs. Not one of them doesn't take the signs. And so what you're doing is you're running a vegetarian recipe club, but you're putting in behind the scenes, or in there, you're weaving in your Christian lifestyle as you're talking. Our best magazine I've ever seen, the Sign Magazine, getting that into their homes. And also, if you're running a programs in the church, don't be afraid to plug them there too. I have brochures of our men's shed and our Pathfinders, our women's groups, and our whatever we do in the church. I have them on the table as well with the recipes each night that we hand out. And because I cross-pollinate between the programs run for our church. I could be here another hour, or I could, Paul, but imagine I've got a blackboard, and here's my philosophy of witnessing, but just imagine, and look, I hope I'm not profaning this pulpit here. And Terry, there is a font here, mate. No, sorry, Trevor, there's a font here. Okay, I'm standing on it. Imagine four quadrants. And I have four quadrants, and I have my space, workspace, our space, God's space. And so in my Bible studies, in my ministry, in all my ministry, and in our programs that we're running, like our recipe clubs, our men's sheds and that, I'm looking at where they are. You know, are they in my space? Are they in work space? Are they in our space? God's space. Now, recipe clubs is our space. Men's sheds, our space. And what we're doing is we're bringing them there, mixing with Adventists, and I hope that you Adventists are supporting the recipe club. I hope it's not just a few guys on your own. You're going to be there sitting with these people, making friends with them. And then you're bringing them to God's place, which is church on a Saturday morning. And so my sermon this morning and my talk this afternoon can be summarised with this quadrant. My space, that's my home. And I use that for God. But that I use that to bring people to our space, then to God's space. Workspace. You know, if my workmates have a marriage breakdown or a death and that type of, I've got cards in my desk. I'll take out a card, write a card. Annabelle, so sorry to hear about your sister's ill health, whatever. I'm letting you know I care, and I'm praying for you and your sister, your friend Lauren. I'll give that to her at work. So my space, workspace, our space, God's space. I use those spaces to bring people to God's space. And if you come visit North Point Church, either Rockbank or at Tullamarine, you'll see laid over everything we do in my church, that map. And my members, that's my vision. And I say it to them till the cows come home. They know exactly what everything's doing. And if what we do in the church doesn't fit in with that, then we chuck it out. Like we had someone want to come into that building for Zumba classes. And I said to the vision team, I said, okay, I've got nothing against Zumba personally, so I'm not going to try and sway you guys with that. I went to the blackboard and drew that quadrant up. And before I'd finished, the vision team, which is our board members, said, we're ready to vote. I said, it doesn't fit. It doesn't fit with our vision of our church. And so they put that out. So everything in our church, we guide by that. And so everything in our church must bring people to the number one thing we have, and that is being at church Saturday morning, 11 o'clock. And, well, you probably say, okay, why not 9:30 for Sabbath school? Well, Sabbath school brings people to the 11 o'clock service as well. People come to Sabbath school and come on. And so Sabbath school is a part of bringing people into God's space. So that's, in summary, is what I do. Any questions at all? Yeah. Pardon? One on the name? Oh, you've got my space, work space, our space, God's space. That's Pathfinder clubs, recipe clubs, cooking. Oh, yeah. God's part of our. If I can't mention God in my recipe club, what am I running it for? But mind you, in a nice way, and I mentioned before how you bring Christ into it. You know, I might be saying, you know, went to a Pathfinder camp and a kid had an accident, but Jesus was protecting those kids. And I thank God that we have a wonderful Jesus that, you know, protects us and is watching out for us. Whatever. You bring those stories in all the way through.
Would you say grace before
we eat? Oh, yeah. I do. Now, do you guys do that as your recipe club? Do you have, like, we cook the recipes, and we have them get into circles, into groups, of about four to five, and before they eat, I'll say grace and ask God to bless the food. Yes, definitely. Yeah, all the way, so I'm thinking of that, and there's something too we ran the other day, and they asked me to pray a blessing on the food. Where was it? It was somewhere. It was a kids' party, and they weren't even Adventists, but they knew I was a pastor, and or weren't even Christians. They asked me to say grace before the food. And one kid, he went and said, "Mum, we never say that. That's different." And so I showed them up, didn't I? But yeah, Again, that's an important part of our Christian living that we can live, is grace. And don't be afraid to say grace if you're at restaurants, that too. Whereas most times, we're, as Adventists, we're scared of that. But Pentecostals aren't. They'll do it. And well, why are we afraid of letting people know that we're thankful for our God? And, you know, I love my God, I just want to show him off. Yeah, so that's a very good point there you just brought up. Peter, oh, sorry, your wife. Yes, I do. After, it was okay for the first 4 or 5 years, but now our church is starting to become one of the major churches in the area, and these other pastors are feeling threatened. Like I went to a minister's fraternal about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and 2 or 3 of those guys couldn't talk to me. Yeah. I guess I told you a story about Claire, and she was a pastor's wife. I didn't know that until last Monday. And if you go and talk to her, she'll say, I've never forced it onto her. She felt that way herself. I didn't know she was coming close to our church. I didn't know she was being affected by our church. But she, apparently, as a kid growing up, the Baptist Church was very friendly to the Adventist Church in one of the islands, Solomon's, New Guinea, something like that. And so she saw the Adventist Church and she knew what we were about back up there. But yeah, other people coming into our church here, leave it to God and the Holy Spirit to bring people through our church. You know my philosophy, love them till they ask you why. We're not here to threaten the other pastors, we're not here to threaten them with sheep stealing. You know, well, they think sheep's dealing. We know it's not. We know that we're rescuing. But again, we're here to lift the name of Jesus up, and love always wins. Force never wins. And so I just keep on loving them, making them feel special, and allowing them to come along, because we don't know how close we are to Earth's climax. And I believe that when the earth really starts shaking with the end time events, if we read the Bible prophecies correctly, I believe that these other churches will come to us because of the good work we've done now. And you may think, oh, we don't see much results here in Hamilton. But we don't know what past members have done here. You don't know what your health shops have done here. You don't know what just having this church building here as a witness has done in the past. And that will be revealed in the closing stages of Earth's history, I believe. I think our job now is to love them till they ask us why.
So do you, as a church, socialise with other churches?
Do you not have anything that can occur? Not too much. I haven't got time for that. But I've got nothing wrong with it. You know, if they've... And especially in a small town, I used to go to, you know, common church service groups with, you know, the church running something together, that type of stuff. I'm thinking of Innisfail. I've never had the ministers get really offside with me, I guess because I keep seeking their friendship. And if I think something can upset them, I will go and visit and talk with them. And in Innisfail, I was up there at the time when some... caring young, or not young, older Adventists were just bombing the Catholic Church and any Catholic they knew and anyone in the town with those anti-Catholic newspapers at that time, which they were getting in for a dime a dozen. And it was really, one night there, someone took a whole bundle, wrapped them up and put them on the doorstep of the Catholic Church. And I had, you know, I'm trying to share God's love in this town, and I went around to the Catholic priest, who I knew quite well by now, and I said, look, you know my beliefs,
But I said, I don't believe in what that's a good way to approach what just happened there. I want to say I'm sorry for whoever's done this. I don't know who it is, but I want to say I'm sorry. And he said, Lauren, he said, I knew it wasn't you. And he said, I knew it was on the fringe. He said, we Catholics, we have fringe people too. And I thought, oh. So I guess it's called communication. But our job is to be a loving, joyful Christian. And love always wins. Love always wins. And I've seen in Perth, through when Jeff Yulden was preaching there with me, a whole church in Bullsbrook joined the Midland Church, and their pastor joined with them. And it was a Pentecostal church. They all joined because Midland Church loved them and included them in their socials, included them in their church life and that, and sought them and prayed for them. I guess we've got to just love them and wait for the Holy Spirit to show us or to show them. Yeah, Katie.
I read this, I agree totally with what you said about loving the things in first, because you've got to show Christ in you. But then, to be able to love them, you better to accept Jesus when you talk about Jesus. In evangelism, I'm sure it's a thing in evangelism, I read where Sister White tells us, when it drops in, that we're not to really do teach in without giving them God's things first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess if I had done that, I wouldn't have a church plant. I should be setting it up. With North Point Church, we pioneered. Just my wife and I were Seventh-day Adventists in the area, and and even now, I still have to get help from the Harvest. To do our uplinking, I had to go to some friends who are friends of mine who aren't attending church yet, and ask them for help into how to uplink up into Rockbank. I guess I'm relying on the Harvest more and more. Like yesterday for our men's shed, Luke Abbioli, he's the director of YPA Real Estate in Gladstone Park. He letterboxed 600 flyers for us as he was letterboxing his, because of the friendship. And he's come to church a couple of times. I guess the climate has changed a lot too. There's the barriers of us and them is not longer there. And we may think it, but the issue of Sunday, Saturday worship is not an issue anymore at the moment. People don't really think that's an issue, and they'll come to church without issue. Back when I was younger, you know, you're either a Sunday keeper or a Sabbath keeper type of thing, whereas now, if you invite people to church, they'll come. They'll come. The barrier's not there. Yeah, but make sure you've got a strong cell group. Like, say you come to my church. If you come to church for 3 weeks and you aren't in a cell group, meeting on a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday night, I'll be saying, why, Katie, what's going wrong? Haven't my cell groups come and approached you, or haven't you approached them? Because in the cell groups, yes, they do a study each night, and in my cell groups there, we do what we call a sermon-based cell groups, where they study on a Tuesday night, they study the sermon. So today, at church, they're learning on the sheep being dropped down, Peter's vision. I've written up the lessons already, and the leaders have got those, and this Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday nights, they'll study those questions on that topic we just preached on and unpack that, because new people. But also, say you join my cell group, and I'm the leader of a cell group, and I'm not a pastor, I'm a leader, I'm a layman, I'm a leader of the group. I should be having Bible study with you straight up. I'll be saying, Kate, come to a coffee shop, and I'll have a talk and say, you've come to church a couple of times, you're now part of our group, I want to show you from the Bible why we go to church, and I'll start you out on a series of Bible studies through, And every cell group leader, either themselves or someone in the group's got the gift of evangelism, like in a group you might have Peter, he's got the gift of evangelism. Well, you might say, there's a new person coming to group tonight. Peter, can you Bible study with that person? And so that's where a lot of my Bible studies are happening, because I can't do my Bible study myself as the with my two churches and personal ministries. But I'm finding it's working as I'm trusting Layman more. So you will be having Bible studies. I guess you come to church 3 or 4 weeks. So I guess technically we can say that we are following Ellen White's counsel. And it's taken me...
Here they just walk in, that's different. They walk in, you welcome them, you think it's a front seat.
I think, what if you have to actually make them, you know, go through dress reform and all that before they can come?
What I'm saying is, if newcomers come into this, if we invite people that they're not adventurous, and they're not having some kind of Bible study, right? They're coming in the way they only know how. And who are we to say to them, hey, you shouldn't be doing this, you shouldn't be doing that? No, because they're not prepared. This is why I believe that we're not to bring them in without any knowledge of the Lord.
But once they're in, I don't know. Like, he might not be now, but I'd love to be your pastor here. You guys are a great church. I reckon I can use you to help too. We could grow a great church here because you love the Lord all of you here. And I would just love to get some unchurched people coming in, sitting beside you and watching your love for Jesus, your love for our church doctrines and teachings brush up on them, and it grows them. I find that with me, I'd rather do fishing in the boat, clean the fish in the boat, than clean them in the sea. Yeah. By beholding, they become changed. Yeah. But Kate, if you come to my church and a year later you're still the same, I'll be saying there's something wrong. The church is not working. It's not working. And when you look at it, back in the book of Acts, 3,000 baptized in one day. Where they go. I reckon that church were in pretty, had a few hard headaches, creating cell groups, creating areas like, for instance, we see the fights they had between the Judo-Greeks and the Hellenistic Greeks. So the Judo-Christians and the Hellenistic Christians, because Hellenistic were Greeks. But the church sorted it out and together, and they grew together. And also, we've got to remember too, that if there's a good book on called The Angels at Australia. It's on the history of the church starting up in Australia. And there you see that some of the first board and business meetings, Ellen White, Haskell and all those guys didn't have it all together. They learnt as they grew and the church grew. I get what you're saying, Kate, and I like it. But I think that we need to catch the pioneering spirit again in our church. We need to catch the movement that we once were, and that will include, I think, people coming in here and needing us to show them the love of Jesus, needing us to be Jesus and be the light, and needing us to teach them lovingly. And I agree with you, the makeup, the jewelry, all that, I agree with that totally, but I think that comes through them seeing us having good social nights without having to go to a movie theatre or without having to go to whatever. I don't know. Maybe I'm young and stupid, young and naive and that, but I believe the greatest witnessing tool that we have is our Seventh-day Adventist Church. We have so much light that can just penetrate the darkness that's around us. And I guess I've waited 10 years to see my church start being the light there, and now they are. I'm seeing the Holy Spirit doing even greater things. Like, I would never want to turn anyone away from the church. They come. Like, I don't invite them to church. They come. Yeah. I've got a card on my table at the front of our desk which has got "Come to my church," and my members, it's their business card. And if they see someone that they in the shops or wherever they are, or some of their friends, it's got church addresses on it, and they say, and they sign their name, "I invite you to come to my church tomorrow." And and that's, to me, one of the greatest growths of our church is members bringing friends along. Paul.
I agree with what you said about if they don't change in a year's time, for example, should it take a year?
Yeah.
If they don't change, there's something wrong with the church.
Yeah.
Because one of the Bible studies, she was over 20, maybe 25, something like that. And when I gave her the Bible studies, that she used to come to church, but she used to wear jewelry, because she was full of jewelry and music and whatever. But every time she comes to church, she takes the jewelry off. And she said, "See, Paul, I take the jewelry for you. I said, "Don't take it for me, take it for Jesus, not me." So, the example follows.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they don't make a change in certain time, that means there is something wrong with the church.
Yeah.
And even whatever.
Accepting not the church, you know, the church, just don't accept just the word of God. And they don't
But the example follows, you know?
Yeah.
And when I was in Mongolia too, a young girl, they know, and we sent money to continue the university, you know, that she was learning English. I went up there at the where they used to keep the church there. It was a fish where they used to make fish at the park, you know, on top. And it was 10 o'clock at night. It was still daylight.
Mm.
And then she was learning English, so I started talking with her. That was the interpreter.
Yeah.
And that way, she accepted Christ. That very time, we spent up to midnight, and then
gave
a testimony about Jesus, what he done for us, you know, and all. And she had Bible study in March time every day. And she got baptized.
Yeah. Jesus leads us all our new people on a journey, and it's slowly by slowly throwing the rocks out and filling it with a heart of flesh. Yeah. I see your hand going up. Yeah, I did.
I'd love to see his statement for better than what, because I haven't seen it yet, to try to understand it. Because when we talk about bringing someone into the church, we're bringing the person into membership. And of course, the person has got to be taught first.
There's a difference between attending church and membership.
And baptism is an entrance into the church. So we're not put the baptism at front there.
It's uphill.
You baptize first before you can go into the church.
Yeah. Yeah, and I believe very clearly too that people need to understand all our teachings before they're baptized. I really believe that. But I believe that we need to make our church, there is a welcome on our front doormat. They need to be welcome any time to come in. Yeah. I think we agree overall, and Kate, if we don't, I'd say, "Kate, come with me, let's grow a church together and see how God grows us." And don't forget, it's the Holy Spirit's church, and I'm glad he's the senior pastor, not me, because I can make some decisions that aren't right. But you know, that when we as a church agree that we're all going to go together harmoniously and agree around the beliefs of our church, Jesus does the rest. Jesus does the rest. We've got a mighty church to be a part of. We are called to a fantastic church, a St. Adventist church. Well, I promised you 3 o'clock, and I took questions, and I'm glad I did. But it's gone to half past. I'm so sorry. But I want to just close on a high point. I want to close with a story to close with, and then close in prayer. Oh, sorry, I didn't see you back up there. But don't take till 4 o'clock, though. No, I'm sorry.
Sorry, you always turned on the other side.
I'm sorry, but also I'm 70% deaf, and I'll hear there first before I hear here. I'm so sorry. I humbly apologise.
They all know that we are Seventh Day Adventists. You know that at all. But we haven't got a guy in person who stands out to switch it on the scripture and give to the people explanation that the cooking class is totally biblical and give a small history that how from the Eden Garden people drop down on everything unclean and so on and disobedient, and then towards the end time people realize through the scripture that you are called back into the healthy spirit and healthy living. And you are invited to come to be a guy man, to stand on the cooking class, you say yes or no.
I think that our cooking classes need to say that by our actions, rather than words. No meat?
Said, argue is no good without any action. And we choose them that you are the one who will stand there and give them a history. And if they are accepting the first time, second time again something nicely biblical, and
yeah,
then you can invite them, is a biblical study in the whole here and welcome anyone.
I've only been a minister 21 years, but I've learned that I can win an argument and lose a baptism. I'd rather get a baptism than win an argument. And I'm not standing back from a message. I don't know how long you've been a vegetarian, but I've been on for 46 years. I don't know how long you've been knocking on doors, but I was knocking on doors when I was 2 weeks old in a push with my mum with Sign magazines. I love this church message. I love the health message. I live it. I've never eaten meat. But I believe that my actions speak louder than my words. And that I'm an example. And that people will ask me why, because they'll see I am different. Peter and James and John, the apostles, once they got the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, they were noticed because of their difference. They looked and behaved. If we live our teachings how we should, I think that, and through a loving way, Ellen White says that there'll be more one where there's one now. And I think that's what we need to look for. And yes, I run a restaurant club. I have got people attending church now. Yes, but I'm not going to shy off. If I say I have, this sanitarium luncheon to put in the fried rice, I'm going to say because we don't have bacon. And I say, it's while I'm stirring the rice, that the Bible doesn't put forward that bacon is a clean meat. Anyway, it's not like that I'm saying there, but it's the environment you've got to create for it. Ecclesiastes. There's a time for everything, and Paul says I speak things in season, out of season. We've got to work for the seasons. Work for the seasons. And part of the quadrant I showed you is we're making those seasons. I sat last Saturday at my house with 2 refugees. I cooked lunch, vegetarian lunch. And I had 7 Adventists with me, with these refugees, their first time. Turns out one of them already is a vegetarian. He was a Muslim, but he's had a blood problem. And one of only 500 apparently in Australia has got that blood problem. And the doctor advised him the best thing he could do for his body was to be a vegetarian. And so he's already a vegetarian. Now, I had them there at my place for lunch, and sitting next to me was Kinney and Losalini. And to hear the love of Jesus coming out of their heart, to hear them that they're baptized, and to hear them talking about Jesus, they've been a part of the church for 6 years. And I thanked God last Saturday for the day that I was out knocking on doors. It was a cold day, and one of the coldest days I've ever put in Melbourne. And I'm thinking I could be home at the computer with a heater on, much warmer, much better. And I went back to the car, and something said to me, one more door, and it was 45, and number 45, and I went to, I couldn't even get my hand to start the car. One more door. I went and knocked on this one more door with the survey, and it was Kitty. Ah, she said, I've just been reading my Bible. Can you explain to me why doesn't my church keep Saturday? And I walked in and shared with her the Sabbath in a nice way and lined up for more Bible studies. And then she came to the Mark Finley program and she was baptized and come through, and she's now one of the singing leaders in our church. I thank God that I left my comfortable home, my comfortable church pew, went out seeking the lost, that as Ellen White says, are wistfully looking to heaven. And now Kinney, her daughter, her son, and her other son are now attending church. And I think that is the reason why we are compelled to go out and win souls for the Lord, because we used to say in MVs, the love of Christ constraineth us. Love of Christ constraineth us. And so, if I can be of no more use to you at all today, remember the one thing, that we are called to be His ambassadors. We are called to make a difference in the world. And we are called to love them till they ask us why. May God bless you, Hamilton Church. May God help you and to be a church of influence, to be loving and lovable members, and may God win many souls through your efforts, if not here on this earth, but that may they be revealed to you in the earth made new. Let's pray. Lord, today we've had a bit of a theme of witnessing and sharing your faith. And at times it can be a bit contentious because, yeah, we'd rather others go out and do it. But you've called us to be the light in our capacities and in the ordinary everyday life that we live. Lord, I pray that you'll just use all of us here through your Holy Spirit's power to light a dark world with your light. May Hamilton Church here, Lord, be a church that is soon full to the brim of people that are coming and embracing the three angels' message we love and teach. Lord, I want to pray for the elders here and the personal ministries leaders and all the leaders here, that you'll work through them as they guide us as members in winning souls for you. I pray for the Recipe Club that these members so faithfully run. They yearn for results. They yearn to see things happening because of the efforts they're putting in. But if I read the Bible correctly, we aren't asked to gain a harvest where no seeds have been sown. Lord, help us to be faithful sowers of your word, in action and in word and in deed. Help us to be faithful in serving those at the Recipe Club until they ask us why. And then can we point them to a Saviour, to His church, and to His soon return? Is our prayer in your name. Amen. Well, thank you. God bless. And I'll see some of you at camp, I hope. Come past the Personal Ministries tent and grab a show bag thing. They've got little packs there of witnessing ideas this year at the Personal Ministries tent. It's in the village square, just outside the main pavilion. But I'm sure we're going to have a good time as we camp together there. And I hope that with the rollout of the Beyond and the ex-Adventist campaign and the Great Controversy rollout, that I get the opportunity to come back here and be with you guys as together we roll our sleeves up and use our God-given literature to sow seeds for the gospel. God bless.